We've been in a series leading up to today called Defining Moments. Why do we celebrate today? Why is it that some people get in a big argument about whether Jesus rose from the dead or not? It's because it's history's defining moment. All of history rests on this. It's not just the day he died and rose, but that he was born. The argument is over his existence at all. The reality of who Jesus is a big deal. History is even overwhelmed with the amount of historic documents that are just stacked up about him. You know, other documents about other people, just very, very few. But there's just hundreds and hundreds of copies of manuscripts. Can't miss it. And even the historic figures of the day have it recorded. Josephus and different ones, that he's a real person in history. There's no getting over that. It's not a fake thing. It's not a myth. It's a reality. And just why did Jesus come to earth in the first place? To die for our sins and then be buried in the tomb and risen from the dead. Why? What's all this about? Because we were disconnected. In the Garden of Eden, Adam made a mistake. And we plummeted into a disconnected place, and now all of our hearts are darkened, and we try to figure out how to get further than we are without the help of the one who's here to give it to us. Is that right? So Jesus came to reconnect us to a relationship with God that we had lost. But even more than that, Jesus came to give us the picture of what real good humanity looks like. Have you noticed, at least I have, but people who hang around Jesus a lot, they seem to be a whole lot nicer and kinder, even more patient. It's amazing. It's the effect of his life in our life that makes all the difference. Even more so than this, Jesus came to reveal the heart of Father God, to come and be. If you look at all the different scriptures of Jesus touching people's lives and think in terms of how he thought about it, he says, I don't do anything except I see the Father do it. I don't say anything except to hear the Father say it. You get a feel of how Father God cares about you, because it's expressed in every action, word, and deed of Jesus. He's the perfect representation. See, some people say, I love Jesus, but I don't know about God the Father. Well, he's the perfect picture. He's the perfect picture. You've seen one, you've seen them both. But we have a challenge, you know, mankind in our fallen state, we're always trying to save ourselves, you know, try harder. How many of you had the religion of try harder? Mankind left to themselves comes up with some kind of a set of rules to accomplish salvation. One of the common fallacies of that is this, that people think that when you come before God, they're just going to weigh all your good deeds over here and all your bad deeds over here and figure out how many deeds you get. How many of you heard that nonsense? I was at a funeral of a famous person, and somebody got up and declared that, and I went, they don't know the gospel. You know, that's like asking a drowning person to just go ahead and be a lifeguard and save themselves. Swim harder. Come on, and they're drowning. Swim. You can swim harder. When somebody's got their lungs full of water and they're going down, it's not time to try to be your own lifeguard. You need somebody outside of your situation to get into your situation. And that's the deal, because the answer to salvation is not from the earth. People left to themselves, they come up with stuff. One world religion says that the state of nothingness is the end goal, that you become nothing. That's a world religion, and they got a bunch of rules, and if you follow all these rules, you can become nothing. Another world religion says you go from being a human to a bug to a bird, etc., etc. You just keep cycling around. It's a recycle game. That's what men come up with without the revelation of God. This is men trying to reach up, but you can't reach up and get. The answer is not from this realm. The answer is from his realm. Heaven has to come down to earth. And when he comes down to earth, and that's what happened in the person of Jesus. The life of Jesus is the most totally amazing and brilliant study of a person to ever, just to imagine. That's why it was so difficult for the disciples. Because God came down and lived right in front of them. Without ever sinning. He was something else. And so we get to Thomas's story. Now I'm going to be kind to Thomas here for a minute. Because see, John 20 verse 19 says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. That's the John version. Here's the Luke version of the same thing. Listen to this. But they were startled and frightened, and they thought they saw a spirit. And when he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Jesus shows up into the room. Suddenly he's there, and they're freaking out. They're totally shocked. He just pops it. The doors are locked. There he is. Surprise, here I am, guys. And he says, see my hands. He's trying to convince the disciples, I'm back. See my hands, see my feet. Look at my side. And after he said this and he showed it to him, he says, while they, get this, still disbelieved for joy and marveling, he said to them, to take it a step further, have any of you guys got anything to eat? It's like, I'm going to do a magic act. I'm going to eat this. Thomas wasn't there. They got all that. They got all of that. Jesus shows up, starts to show who he is. They check him all out, and then he's gone. But Thomas wasn't there. Thomas just wanted what they got. So 8 days later, now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see his hands and the mark of the nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand in his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. He came right back for Thomas. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad Jesus is like that? He comes in, he says, peace be with you. And then he says, Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hands and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord, my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. By the way, Thomas is a real person. Did you know he's the patron saint of India? He traveled to India and evangelized and planted two churches and was murdered there. But there's three different times in the Bible that Thomas, it says Thomas, also called the twin or Didymus, the twin. And we're never told, did he have a twin brother? Did he have a twin sister? Was it an identical twin? Somebody looked just like him? Was it a fraternal twin? Just that born at the same time? We're never told about. But we do know what a twin is. In a loose manner of speaking, a twin is someone who resembles somebody else. Is that right? I think the Bible left out who the twin was on purpose. I think everybody who wants God to prove himself to him personally is Thomas's twin. I believe if you've ever prayed this prayer, and I know many have, God, if you're real, please show me. Those are the twins of Thomas. God, if you're real, please show up in my life. And here's what he does. Just like with Thomas, he comes to you. And he might come in a dream. He might come through the words of a person. He might come through an event. Or he'll just show up in his presence. But here's the deal. You will know it is him. Because he comes to Thomas's twin, just like he came to Thomas, to prove to your heart who he says he is. And every person who ever sincerely asks him to show himself to him, not the mocker, not the skeptic. And it's always a different story why someone comes to the Lord, I've discovered. I was talking to Gary Nichols. At 11 years old, he gave his heart to Jesus. But then time went by, and I think he was in his teens, around 1973, a little later, and he was watching Billy Graham on TV by himself. And he got on his knees in front of the TV. Everybody say the word rededicated. He rededicated his life and began to walk with the Lord from that day. And there may be some of you here today that says, look, I had an experience with the Lord years ago, but I want to rededicate my life to walk with him. There's some of you, the needs are always different. My wife was lonely. She was on a layover in Syracuse, New York, and there was an American Airlines pilot, Bob Gronzik, and he said, she was having a struggle in a relationship, and she was so lonely. She came down, and she was going to leave. She didn't feel good, and they said, come sit with us, these nice people. And they sat with her. I don't know, maybe it was Marianne that said it. Marianne, his wife was with him and said, Heather, if you give your life to Jesus, if you know Jesus, you'll never be lonely again. And he went right into that place in her heart of her deepest need and came and spoke into her life. And she turned her life over to Jesus the Savior, and he became Lord of her life. Some, like Emmy just grew up around us. She doesn't know a time in her life that Jesus wasn't around, because we were young in the faith and we were growing in our walk with God. And I believe you told me one time, it was around 4 years old, you just suddenly knew. I think you even started praying in the Spirit. You know, all adults are praying in tongues in the other room, and this little kid starts just overcome by the Spirit of God and starts praying too. Isn't that amazing? Just because the household is in faith, that Spirit. Nick, same way. He doesn't remember when he got saved. He just grew up. And the Spirit of the Lord is just, I can't, I don't know if it was a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I just know that I've always, and there was a day when they shifted in. And then there was a later day that the God of Emmy's parents became her God. And she was on a YWAM trip in Hawaii, and she was on the beach. Doesn't it sound beautiful to be on the beach in Hawaii and have an encounter with God, and it's no longer the God of Roger and Heather, but the God of Emmy. And she turned her heart completely over and has walked with him. I think that's what it'll be like for little Titus and little Evie. They just have that spirit. Some people come in from homes like that. I came from more of a traditional, you know, church. And we sang some of the hymns that Todd played earlier. I used to like that, and I used to love singing, "We are climbing Jacob's ladder." I didn't even know what it was. But that's what happens when you're in a traditional setting and you don't know the Lord, but you have religion around you. By the way, salvation is not church attendance at all. Salvation is a relationship with the Savior. It is not a relationship with people. Well, my mom goes, so I get in because my mom goes. Oh, no, 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 no. You need to know him yourself. And even though I just knew there was something more, I was craving something more, and I went to the Sunday school class. I had no idea what to say, and I said, I just think we need to study something Let's study the book of Revelation. I had no idea what I was talking about. But I wanted more. I didn't know what I wanted. And I ended up in a Christian conference. And mine is an unusual story. It's very different. It's almost odd. But the Lord does things. I guess I'm kind of odd. So the Lord gave me an odd salvation experience. But it was real. Because I was around Christians, and I thought I was a Christian because I was around Christians. And I was told I was a Christian. And you can be told you're Christian and be dark on the inside and be questioning and desiring. And this is the thing I do know. I had even gone down to an altar under the pressure of another church, and they forced me to pray the sinner's prayer, and I did it for them, but God wasn't a part of that. And I heard the words. In fact, in the church that I was a part of, as a little 12-year-old boy, I went and stood up in front of everybody and I did the confirmation reading. And I read the words. And I read the words that said I believed in Jesus Christ. But I felt very embarrassed when I was standing there. Because it wasn't of me. It was just something I read to be a part of the group. How many people go through their whole life thinking I've done what they told me to do and never met the Savior? Never come to know Him. You might not be in a family that pursues the Lord, but you may have a hunger. And that's Jesus drawing you. Drawing you. I was in a family that really didn't have that much of a hunger for God. They just had the social, traditional. And then so I said, you know, there's this conference. I want to go to this conference. My mother said, yeah, let's go. And a few other friends. And we went from North Carolina over to Tennessee to some university. And I was there. And it's amazing how God did this for me because I had a defining moment. What I'm talking about here, listen, Jesus Christ coming to earth is a defining moment for all of human history. God shows up in the flesh. He comes and He says, I'm going to take care of all of your problems, all of your sins and all of your sicknesses. I'm going to give you myself. I'm going to come and represent as a sacrifice. I'm going to represent everything that's wrong in the world. And I'm going to go and I'm going to pay for all of that on the cross. I'm going to become a sacrifice for all of humanity. And I'm going to become your substitute. I'm going to be a substitute for you so that you don't have to die for your own sin. There's not going to be judgment on you if you receive the judgment God puts on Jesus. It goes on Him. It doesn't go on you. Are you there? That's actually very good news. It's very good news. If you're not having to pay the price for your failure, that's a good thing. I want to get to my story in a minute, but I want to say this. This is amazing. You cannot buy your way in. You can't write a big check. God's not impressed with the size of the money you have. And some of you look really, really nice, but your looks won't get you in. Go up to heaven. I brush my teeth. And I wash my hair. Can I get in on my good looks? No. Or it might be that you are just really witty and clever and have figured it out. And you come and you say, I want to come in because I'm really smart. But you can't come in because you're really smart. There's only one way. Are you ready? It's kind of a good old-fashioned way. You come and you bring Him what's wrong. You acknowledge what's wrong, and He'll come and He'll give you what's right of Him. It's kind of like a big swap. When I was standing at this moment in this makeshift sanctuary, it was a college cafeteria, and over against the wall there was a piano and there was a pole, and they put a little podium there, and that's where the speaker, and there was somebody who played the piano, and the guy began to finally, you know, call out to us to come to know the Lord. And I'm watching all this, and there's this lady, kind of a hefty girl. She's got black hair, and her mascara is running, and she looks like a raccoon. She was down there, and she was going like this, la, Lord, I tried smoking, and Lord, I tried drinking, and Lord. She was going like this, and it was comical. I have to admit, it was comical. And I'm looking down there, and I'm thinking, and then I have this incredible thought in my mind. Either Jesus is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. I'm kind of smug at this point because I'm thinking I thought that up myself. That was the bait. And then came the vision. And I'm there, I'm standing there, and there's this pole, and I'm hanging on to the pole, and right about where Tim is, back there on the, I see a vision. And I see these flames dancing in the air, and it's all fire, and I can see the fire. I'm looking out, and I see the fire, and I've got this horrible feeling that I'm going to go there. That's how he's talking to me. And then the fire disappears, and I feel this powerful love begin to come and rest on top of me. And it's like the best thing. Oh, my God, the best thing. Ooh, best. I'm feeling all of this incredible sense of love. And then it lifts off, and it goes back, and there's the fire, and then there's the love. It does it three times. Every time God does one of these things in the Bible, he does it three times. He's got this fire, this love, this fire, this love. And I know that if I don't receive this love, I'm going to go to that fire. But I've got a problem because there's this man back in my hometown that's a weirdo. He's a weirdo. And he was very vocal about Jesus. And I was afraid that God would make me weird like him. Have you ever had some kind of a thing in your head? And I was like, oh, no, I don't want to be like that guy. And then God spoke to me. It's the first time I remember God ever speaking to me. It's the first time he ever spoke to me. And this is what he said. I don't have to ask you again. I don't have to ask you again. I don't have to ask you again. Would he? Yes, he probably would have asked me again. But he showed me the eternal destiny of my soul was the lake of fire. And he showed me his love. And he said, make a choice. Make a choice. I don't remember ever saying anything. I just, in my heart, I went like this. And instantly, all the energy left my body. I grabbed the pole and I slid all the way to the floor and slumped over and cried and cried and cried. I got up after that and I knew I was different. I had met the living God, and he loves me, and he loves you deeply, cherishes you, knows everything about you, and cares the deepest. Here's the miracle about it. You feel like you're more wicked than you could ever imagine, and at the same time, you feel more loved and accepted than you could ever hope for. Let's go ahead and lift our hearts to the Lord. How many of you want to say, I want Jesus in my life? I want him. I want to do what Gary did. I might have known him when I was a kid. It might be the first time in your life. You might have known the Lord. It might be the first time you say, well, I finally realized I'm one of those people that's been in church, thinking church was the way, but it's not about that. It's about knowing him personally. Yeah, honey, I want you to invite the people.
Ones, the love of God is here. If you'll just close your eyes. Nobody's going to make you come down front, and you can do it right there in your seat. Just you and him. Just like Roger said, he didn't even say anything. He just nodded in his heart. Don't miss this opportunity. He doesn't have to say it again. He probably would. But don't test him on it. If it's in your heart today, do it now, because he loves you. And he doesn't want to spend another day without you. just open your heart right where you're at and give it to him. Just say, I'm yours, Lord. I don't even understand all of this. I don't even know what to do. But I don't want to stay the way that I am right now. For some of you, it'll be the first time. And for some of you, you've done it before. And you've done it before. And you need to do it again. And this time, it's for real. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that your Spirit is in this place moving now. Open your hearts, loved ones, in the name of Jesus. Some of you have known him a long time, and the Lord's healing your body now. It's not just a salvation moment, it's a saving moment for whatever you have need of, your physical health, you're rededicating your life to Jesus, or coming to him for the first time. Today's a new day for you.
Jesus, because he's Lord, this is a real simple thing. I want you to say this with me. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, he says, if you say with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and God has raised him from the dead, and believe in your heart, then you'll be saved. It's that simple. Let's go ahead and lift our heads. Say, Jesus, I believe you are Lord and God raised you from the dead. On the basis of this, I give you my life. Amen. I remember sitting with Tom, a fellow named Tom that came from Wales. He's a friend of ours, and he had been listening and deliberating the gospel, and he's talking to him. So finally, I just told him that much. I said, now all you got to do, and Tom said, I believe you're Lord, you've risen from the dead, I give you my life. And at that moment, he changed. I said, what just happened, Tom? He said, energy came inside of me. I said, that's the Holy Spirit. Love came inside of me. He was regenerated. He was made new. The Spirit of the Lord. And when you say that by faith, God says, you're not going to be alone in this. I want to give the witness of my Spirit because I have adopted you into my family. I put the Spirit of adoption inside of you, and fear begins to vanish and love begins to take over, and you sense that pull inside and you become a new person in Christ Jesus. Let's all stand together.
We're going to dismiss now. It's been a lovely service. But if in your heart you did what Pastor just said, or when I said you made that nod in your heart, don't leave here today without coming down and saying to one of these lovely people here, I just did what that guy and that lady said to do. And they'll take it from there. And I'll tell you, it'll never be the same. Your day will never be the same. Your life will never be the same. Don't miss doing this. If the Lord is tugging on your heart right now, please, please don't miss doing this. You will never be sorry for that step of faith out of that pew and down here to agree with someone. It'll be the beginning of the rest of your life, and it'll be wonderful. And all the challenges of the rest of your life, because there will be. You'll have your one and only living God walking you all the way through life, and it's marvelous. Some of you need to say, will you agree with me? I'm starting again, and I'm not going back.